Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives Monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hey listeners, Brianna Contreras, an editor of Managed Healthcare Executive here. Welcome back to another episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, where I had the pleasure of chatting with Cindy Gaines, Chief Clinical Transformation Officer at Lumeon. In our conversation, we mainly addressed how automation is filling in the gaps electronic health records are not meeting, and how these gaps are affecting staff, increasing costs, workflows, and more.
Well, hello, Cindy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for, taking the time to chat with me for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
All right. So today, we'll be discussing electronic health records and a little bit about automation. But before we do, I guess, get into, the heaping of the conversation, if you can, just tell me first, a little bit about yourself, maybe your role at Lumeon and the mission of the organization.
Sure, absolutely. My name is Cindy Gaines, and I am the Chief Clinical Transformation Officer for Lumeon. I am a nurse, and I've been a nurse for, believe it or not, 36 years. It's always shocking to me when I say that. And I've spent the majority of my career on the health system side. So I was leading nursing operations, quality operations. I was vice president for population health, and then went on to be president of a medical group. I joined the Lumeon team about 2 years ago, decided to do something different. And what brought me to Lumeon, we really truly believe that care better orchestrated is care better delivered. And what does that mean really for us is we are a company that has built automation into clinical workflows. And that's really all about making it easier for our customers, our patients to maneuver our health systems, but easier for the staff and the clinicians to do what they do. And so when I think about, I've implemented a lot of softwares in my career, and they were needed. We needed to have closed loop medication administration. We needed EHRs. They didn't necessarily make it easier for me to do my job. And they became another thing I needed to do in my day. And what we do is actually go in and look at your clinical workflows and work with you to automate them so we can unburden you, which frees up that time to spend with patients, which is why we all became clinicians in the first place. And so that's really at the core of what we do is how do we use our technology to make it easier for patients and easier for staff. So
awesome. That's wonderful. Thank you. And congrats on, over 30 years in healthcare. I mean, time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does. I feel like I just graduated and it's not true anymore.
That's awesome. Well, if you can explain, what you just mentioned, maybe a little bit more about what you're seeing as far as electronic health records and where we are today with them. You mentioned they're not really working the way I think initially planned, or at least for some people. So I guess if you can maybe just share, are there gaps that are still unmet that EHRs should be filling up?
Oh, absolutely. I think EHRs work very well. So let me start with that. But they work very well for the way they were created to work. We all had a push to get on the electronic medical records. And that really came from, the government mandates saying we needed to get our electronic records up. And when you look at what electronic medical record was created to do, it's created to capture and document information so that you can bill appropriately, so that you can meet all your regulatory requirements. It's to capture all the information for caring for patients. So that's what they were created to do, and they do it very well. And they do much more than that, but they're not, an EHR is not an end-all be-all. It just cannot be. And so hospitals have spent millions implementing their EHRs, but it's not going to meet all your needs. It's going to meet those needs, but what we've discovered over time as healthcare providers is, oh, but it'd be great if I could also do this, or it could be great if I can also do that. And you see a lot of companies out there really selling solutions to kind of fill in some of the gaps of the EHR. So the EHR is it looks at a point in time. It tells you what's going on with this patient at this point in time. And what we do at Lumia is we're not competing with the EHR. So let me tell you that. We're not competing, we're not replacing, we're not here to do that. We need our EHRs. But we work as an agility layer with the EHR, as an agility layer that has two-way communication. And what we do is we extend the capacity of the EHR. We extend its capability. So what we're able to do is build in tasking and engagement and automation into the capabilities of the EHR. So if you think about it, we're just extending its capacity, extending its abilities so that the team can do more. And let me give you an example of what that might mean is in an EHR, we had in a medical record, we had a pre-op checklist. You had to do one before a patient could go to surgery. And in the EHRs today, they've taken that paper and they've built it in the EHR, and it's a checklist of, do I have these things before the patient goes to surgery? But if I'm missing it, I'm going to have to go track it down as a person. I'm going to have to start making phone calls and doing things. I'm going to have to take action. And what Lumion does is works with that EHR. Not only does it track, do you have that, but it can start to take action and reach out on your behalf to track those things down, or reach out to the patient to get those things, or reach out to another department, whether it's via messaging and email, or if it's collecting risk information so the staff don't have to do that. I can risk calculate that for you. It's taking action based on the needs of it, as opposed to just collecting, do I have it or don't I have it? It's saying, if I don't have it, how do I problem solve it? And that's what we do, is we problem solve for the clinical team. And what we do with automation, and it's that agility layer I talked about, and let me take you through a little bit more of an example of that, is I'll use surgery again. So when a patient's scheduled for surgery, one of the processes we often do is we reach out to the patient, everybody does it, to do an intake of the patient. And that's a phone call, it's a cold call. We call the patient, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions about your history because we want to fill in any gaps that we have. We then take that information and we're risk scoring it, and we're saying, oh, this patient's high risk or medium risk, and we're taking actions based off of that. What we're able to do is to say, let's take that workflow, and maybe instead of you calling the patient, the EHR will let Lumion know that the patient's been scheduled. We'll reach out to the patient. They believe it's white labeled, so it appears to be the hospital reaching out to them. Hey, we need to do an intake. Could you complete this form for us? We actually find about 90% of the patients will complete the form. So now we've just saved a ton of time, sort of cold calling and trying to collect that and then entering that in the EHR. We collected it from the patient. We wrote it into the EHR. The staff didn't have to go in and manually enter that. We also then gathered information from the EMR as well as the patient's feedback, and we risk stratified them. So we were able to use the risk stratification tools and score them instead of someone sitting down with a piece of paper and scoring. So what we're doing is actually looking at what are those activities that the team is doing based on the care of the patient that we can automate. And then we're driving that information back into the EHR.
Thank you. And this next question could be a bit repetitive on some of the topics, but outside of strategizing, like a better workflow, how can automation like reduce costs and revenue? And if you can share some examples of that.
Absolutely. We're at a time in healthcare, and we always knew we were going to be short-staffed. We saw that coming years ago. We saw an aging nursing population, and we didn't see as many nurses coming in, and we saw a great retirement coming in the future. And we've been planning for how do we work for that. And that's just nursing. That is true across many physicians. It's true across many clinical teams. And then we had COVID, and we saw before we were ready for it, before we were completely expecting it, many people stepped out of the workforce and said, I've kind of had enough. It's too stressful. I want to be done. And we find ourselves in a situation today where we're shorter staffed than we've ever been, and we have just as many patients. And we need to think about how do we do things differently. And that's where automation is one of those things people are kind of used to thinking about when it comes to billing or checking in at the airport. But being able to automate actual clinical work is something that's really new and different. So that's the opportunity we have today is how do we support those teams? They're working short. There's not people to hire. There's not bodies. That's why we used to promise them we throw bodies at it. Well, we can come in and say, help us. We can help you to make your workflows work better so you can manage it with the team that you have. So we start to talk about efficiency. So I'll use the example of the one I just gave you. Go back to the surgery example. Just the intake alone, when you start to think about that, which was 30 minutes per patient to do, 90% of the patients did the form. So, now I times that by 12,500 patients per year. Now I'm saving over 5,000 hours of care in a year that I freed up. I freed up that care. I freed up 2.5 FTEs of people that you were short. I freed it up. I actually made it easier for them to do their work. They're able to manage the same amount of patients with the same team, actually manage more patients with less burden on the team. And so really, when you think about the monetary value of time, 2.5 FTEs is a monetary value. Now I times that by a couple of nurses, we're saving just in that one process, you're saving $300,000 a year in time that you freed up. Now, unless I let go of nurses, I didn't have a bottom line, here's my bottom line, but I freed up the team. They were actually able to manage more patients, see more patients that they were already on their schedule, see them faster without being overworked. We freed up that time. And that is truly what people are looking for today. It's how you make it easier for me to do my job so I can see all the people lined up to see me because I can't do it the same way I've always done it. So I call that that monetary value of time. And that's efficiencies. With the one hospital we worked with, they wanted to gain 40% efficiency so they could bring in patients, they had 30% of their patients sitting out, being worked up by primary care, and they wanted to work them up in their surgical clinic. And to do that, they had to free up this time. And that 40% efficiency was 60% when we were done. So they actually saw more patients with less burden. And the real beauty of that, I think, is that one of the things we do in healthcare is we create best practice and then we force every patient through it in the same way, which kind of goes against what we do. But I mean, we act as though our patients are all the same, but we all kind of come with our own baggage. And some patients need more time and other patients, they're like, I got this. I don't need as much time, but we treat them all the same. You have a 30-minute slot. Well, for the patient needed more time, they kind of, if I gave them more time, someone's not behind. And that's not, patients aren't happy about that. If I don't give them that time, they're really not getting their needs met. What we do in freeing up that 5,300 hours of care per year, freeing up those 2.5 FTEs, that 67% of the patients move through that process that was very manual before, completely with automation. And in freeing up that time, those patients who needed more time, the patients who said who are just more complex or they're a little older, they couldn't do it, they got as much time as they needed because they were able to have a very high touch process for those patients and allow the patients who really were a little healthier, those patients who could manage it a little bit better on their own, really move through in a digital fashion. So what we're allowing is patients to get to the state they need to be, which is ready for surgery. But they can move down the pathway in a unique way for them, where it's high touch when they need it, it's low touch when they need it, and everybody gets what they need, which really makes the staff feel much better about what they're doing.
So yeah, I was going to address, just how automation is affecting patients. So clearly it's creating a bit more of a patient-centered care as well, because it's like you said, just that more time to
Yeah.
focus on your patients. So I guess if there are any other examples or ways that automation can, benefit patients other than, just focusing on that care, are there any others?
Well, I, you know, You can apply it to any use case. You can use automation, whether it's inpatient, whether it's a procedure or area like we talked about. You can use it in a physician office. If I can use automation in a physician office to follow up with the patient electronically and track them down or take actions for the team so that the person in front of you can be focused on the patient. And when you're the patient, you want that person to be focused on you. And what we're doing is we're saying, let us do that for you. And it'll free you up so you can focus on that person. Again, I'll go, that's why we as clinicians and team members went into healthcare was for that patient. And that's what patients want. They want you to make that connection with them. One of the biggest complaints I had as the president of a medical group was from patients was the computer's gotten in between me and my provider. Everyone's looking at their computer and they're not looking at me, and I want that touch. And what Lumion's doing is putting that touch back in it. It's saying, let us take care of things that really don't require you to do. We can do on your behalf, whether that's, like I said, whether that's automation, that's tasking, that's communication, that's decision support. We take your decisions and we build them in using automation so that your decisions are happening the way you want them to be made. We're not replacing clinician. We're really augmenting their team. And that's to me what's very exciting about what we do. And that makes a big difference for everybody. And it's freeing up that care so you can focus on the patient and give them the care they need in the way they need it. And taking advantage of technology to support the needs of that patient, whether that be high touch or low touch.
Right. And so overall, I mean, I don't know, you're preventing care or you're preventing a case, let's say, or an illness from getting worse. So I guess what are you seeing as far as maybe results?
I'll go back to the surgical example, and it can be very concrete. Patients come to surgery ready for surgery. You'll see less cancellations, which is very costly to an organization. You see patients ready for surgery, which is high satisfaction for a patient population. You see teams who are they've been freed up, and they're not feeling so overwhelmed with the process of getting the patient ready for surgery. So you start to see those results all around. Whether that's, like I said, whether that's surgery or that's getting a patient, we're working with an organization right now looking at how do you manage hypertension when it's a new hypertensive patient. And it's about staying connected to the patient. It's hard to stay connected in the ambulatory world. How can we help you to stay connected, have the information you need so you're better able to care for that patient? And it's the outcomes are different for every use case. I think the value is once you have Lumion, you can use it anywhere in your organization. It's not a, I can only use it in this department. And what we see is when people, I think it's for people to jump that hurdle of getting comfortable with automation because automation historically, I worked in manufacturing in college. Automation was used to replace people on a line. We're not here to replace anybody. And we're not here to replace clinicians and their decisions. We take your decisions and your workflows. And we build automation where it best fits, so we can make it what happens for you and your staff and your patients is it's more consistent because where things fall down in our world is someone forgot to make that phone call, someone forgot to follow up on that. Well, by using automation, we fill that gap and we forget we prevent those things from happening, and that's it's not replacing anyone because we always take your workflows, your decisions, your best practices, and work to automate them so it's consistent for your staff and for your patients.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, Cindy, I leave the floor to you. If you'd like to maybe share anything that I did not ask you or bring up in this conversation, please feel free.
Well, thank you. It's just been such a pleasure to be here with you, Brianna. It's always fun to talk about what we do at Lumion. I'm very proud as a nurse and as a nurse leader, as a transformation officer, of the impact that we have on staff and we have on patients. And it's just really fun to be able to come and talk about it because I feel like we're at a time in healthcare where we've never needed this more, and most people don't know we can do it. So just thank you for the opportunity to talk about us and get our, get the work we're doing out to across healthcare. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.